As I was preparing this message, I wanted to see what the Bible says about thanksgiving to the Lord as we face the various conditions. Would He give us the slack that when we go through a difficult time, maybe He can give us slack so we don't have to thank Him for the difficult time? But it's something we must do regardless. I'm finding out that we must do something we have to do regardless of the condition we are facing. Actually, it's something, it is commanded by God. It's not a suggestion. Then in our wicked mind, the question arises, and the question forms, then how can God expect us to give Him thanks when we go through misery? That's where the mature Christian gets separated from immature Christian. While the immature Christians only pay attention to the circumstance around him, the mature one gets to have a tiny portion of a glimpse or viewpoint of God who sees the whole picture. While the mature Christian look up to the ruler of the universe, give thanks, and while immature Christian look around the circumstance and complaining. Isn't that true? We complain a lot, don't we? When the tiny little thing goes wrong, we complain. The ladies, when you wake up in the morning and doing makeup, makeup doesn't go wrong, you complain. When guys, the channel doesn't change it fast enough with your remote control, we complain, right? Instead of dealing with the big things, we are concerned about small things. In light of this current political and economic situation, it's easy and natural for us to be down and out. We can still give thanks to the Lord whom we owe everything because He is still on the throne. Let's not forget that. He is still on the throne. He has not lost control. Don't ever think that He got caught off guard because Obama won. He knew that, and it was a part of His plan. I can say that because He's no longer the candidate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You giving You thanks, not because today is Thanksgiving, so we have to do this thing, but we thank You because You are who You are. You are awesome God, as we sung. And You are on the throne. You are mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. More than because of what You allowed us to have, because You loved us, You sent Your only begotten Son for us. We thank You. And we are asking You to open our heart to receive Your truth, that we may be thankful people, we may be people who honor You all the time in spite of the condition around us. We may learn the glimpse of Your eternal view. We may learn Your way so that we may become mature in You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I'd like to look at is removing God out of Thanksgiving Day in America. Not just the one occasion, but there's several occasions. I'm going to list a few things. A couple days ago, I was watching Fox News. I no longer watch those three network news anymore because I'm fed up with them. So I was watching this Fox News, and one of the news was that this couple of schools in the California school district were told, did you hear about that? But they were told not to allow the children to dress up in pilgrim and Indian to have a Thanksgiving dinner, because When Arab parents complain it's a racial thing for them to dress up as a pilgrim master and Indian slaves. First of all, that the Arab parents do not understand anything about American history. And then the liberal school board who wants to be politically correct, they said, okay, no more Thanksgiving dress up. Years ago, the whole of Congress hung a picture of the founding father worshiping God. Of course, that was promptly removed because ACLU complained and the liberal congressman and senator complained. Our public school students are taught the Civil War, the American Civil War fought about state rights and to free the slaves. How many of you guys know that only that, right? Majority, our students know that to free the slaves. Yeah, to free the slave, but what was the reason for it? They forgot the main reason. The Christian pastors and Christian believers of that time, during the time of Civil War, realized that the Union side, realized that these are the black peoples are the same souls, just God died for them. So they need to be freed as they other peoples are. And Abraham Lincoln was one of them. More recently, Capitol Building, I hope you heard this grandiose, crazy idea. Capitol Building was under construction because they were putting together underground visitor center. And underground visitor center contains a miniature model of a house chamber. And I'm sure you've seen the house chamber several times, and whenever you see the president does his State of Union speech. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that picture, right? This miniature model, an original model here, right above the vice president and the speaker of the house sit. Right above here, a bunch of stars. In between the stars, there's In God We Trust. Per Nancy Pelosi's command, order, the miniature model eliminate In God We Trust. And outraged, over 100 congressmen stormed and protest against this, and finally she backed off, and they are allowed to have In God We Trust right in the between the stars of the miniature model. Folks, Satan and his human followers are doing everything they can to remove God out of every area of our society. Since they cannot change the name of Thanksgiving, what do? They simply change the purpose of the Thanksgiving. So now the purpose of Thanksgiving is starting with the Macy Parade and eat more and station yourself in front of TV for the endless football game. At the end of the day, eat more. That's, in other words, it's Happy Turkey Day instead of Happy Thanksgiving Day. By the way, I don't think the turkeys are very happy during the Thanksgiving time. Yeah, I don't think they were wild about that idea. In chapter 8 of the book of Genesis, we are told that God brought harsh judgment, severe judgment against human being. You don't have to turn it, you already know the story. Noah's Ark. Great flood, God judged everybody except 8 people in the Noah's Ark. He remembered Noah and he protected them, and everybody else got killed on the earth. See, even though he dealt with the rest of humankind harshly, he remembered Noah. And later we read that Noah and his family arrived into dry land and when the rain ceased. After they got off to this ark, by the way, don't ever think that ark is a nice boat with a point in the front and point in the back with a screw in the back. No, it was ark means a box. the one thing it has to do is just float. It doesn't have to go anywhere. It just floats. This box finally landed on the dry land. The first thing they did was what? They offered sacrifice to God. God remembered Noah, and Noah remembered God. This is something all of us need to do. Remembering God. Remembering God. We need to remember all that He has done on our behalf. Bible tells us to remember our Creator in the day of our youth. We need to teach our next generation about our Lord with our examples. I didn't say teach our next generation with word. I said examples. Anybody can say anything, but doing it is a completely different thing. Before we go to the Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'm going to say this. See, you have to give it to Satan. He is very smart, don't you? Don't you think so? He's very smart. This is what the Satans do. During the 1960s and 70s, what was the big thing? Flower generation. Then everybody got doped up. Everybody got stoned up. And then free sex, all of that. They knew that the generation who were born and who have a conservative idea, Satan knew that he could not change them. So he thought ahead. So he thought ahead, and he used those leftover flower generation, leftover hippies, put them in the college, put them in the important place of educational system. Good example is Bill Ayer. Good example is the professor who absolute against Israel, who is absolute against anything that is right in the sight of God. When the Bill Ayer was on the air a lot of times because of Fox News, do you know there was a petition went around among the college professors and university professors in America, 3,200 of them were for defending Bill Ayer's action. Bill Ayer is the guy who tried to bomb the police station, and he tried to bomb the Capitol building. He's tried to destroy the Pentagon, and he hasn't repented. He is a known terrorist, yet there's 3,200 professors in our colleges, in our universities, defending him. They are the one who is teaching our children's future. It is no wonder just about every single the majority of our college kids are for liberal ideas. Think about it. They are going to be the one who's take care of, going to send you to the nursing home. You feel better, right? Yeah, you're dead. Exactly. So they are the one who's going to grow up to be in our place, take over the society. Satan knows what he's doing. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult day comes and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remembering youth. We need to teach our youth with the right godly thought, with our action. Not only are we told to remember the Lord and when we are young and teach our youth, but also we need to remember the Lord when we are away from the place where we studied, and in the distant land. Prophet Jeremiah delivered those words to Israel and reminding them they were, when they were in bondage and surrounded by the pagan culture, they were not to forget God. And when they go to the Babylon culture, when they're in the pagan religion center, Babylon, they are to remember God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 50. You who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off. And let the Jerusalem come to your mind. And you may say, well, we're not far off. Yes, we are. In many ways, we are living in a pagan culture today, are we not? We are living in a culture that has no interest in God, if not flat out hostile to Him. Though the people are interested in spirituality, all right, but they are interested in religion on their own terms. And are they really interested in the true God? No. I had to take my truck to the shop. It's one of those routine thing. And I struck the conversation with a small talk. And you know me, I can lead any conversation to God. So we talked about his spiritual condition. He was coming up with every excuse you can think of. And I said something, and he said, yeah, but, just in other words, he does not agree with what I just said. And he coming up with a typical excuse was, how the gracious God can let all these things happen to all these people, bad things happen to all these bad people. So I told him, Dwight, they are not your concern. The most important thing that you have to be worried about is your own salvation. You deal with that first, and God might use you to bring happiness and the salvation to other people. And when I said that, he kind of squirmed his way out. See, folks, people want to have a spiritual condition, spirituality, but they want to do it on their own terms. They don't want God's truth. As a Christian, we should remember the Lord in a distant land. And we are living in this land. Why do I say that? Because I say this, we are pilgrims. This is not our land. Our land, we have a citizenship in heaven. We are longing for that place. Someday Jesus will come to take us home. We are to remember that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. Why? Because He is constantly thinking of us. He is aware of us. And He never forgets us, and most of all, He loves us. Jesus is giving us an example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them to babes. Note the word, I thank you, Father. Nice. Jesus said, I thank you, Father. Even though Jesus himself being God, he constantly thanked Father in heaven to set his example for us. You see the next phrase, the many Christians don't pray before. See, the many Christians don't pray before their meals. If they're in the public area, a lot of them don't want to do it because it's embarrassing. But what is their excuse not doing it in their home? You know, when we sit in front of food, we are hungry. That's the whole purpose of eating, right? But can we stop for a few minutes? Give thanks to the Father who provided food for us. And some of the people say, well, with my own hand, I provided this food. Yeah, God gave you life to have that job. The point is, we should be thankful for everything we get from Him. James said that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And it is clear for us to remember that. Whether we are in a public or private situation, we need to acknowledge His kindness as Jesus did. Again, Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26, verse 27. Now He's taking a communion here. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, drink it from it, all of you. Remember, He gave thanks to the Father before He passed the cups to other people, to His disciples. Now, Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 11. John chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus took the robes, and when he had given thanks to he distributed them to disciples, and disciples to those sitting around, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. See, not only Jesus prayed before meal, but also that whenever he did a miracle, he gave thanks to the Father. The Lord wants us to follow his example. Do we thank the Lord before we get off the bed and kind of reminding yourself, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it, and thanking God for another day? Don't say another day, another dollar. That is a lousy way to start the day. I had a coworker who always said that, and whenever I said that, he's like, never mind. Why you start the day like that? The reason why he started the day like that is because he didn't have a God. We should be different. By the way, as I said before, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment from God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians, way in the back of the New Testament. We memorize this verse, right? Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What does it say? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. In other words, when you pray, you thank him for what he's been doing in your life. And you may say, well, it's hard to find. Are you saved? You should be thankful for that. While we read the book of Philippians, it's easy for us to think that Jesus and Apostle Paul don't understand what we go through. Let's not forget the agonizing time that Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that time? What we read in the four Gospels, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he was agonizing. And let's not forget the time he was whipped by the Roman soldiers 39 times with a cat of nine tails. And also, let's not forget the crucifixion itself. Apostle Paul, he was whipped, stoned, punched, shipwrecked, chased, and starved. By the time he was writing this letter to the Philippians, Philippian believers, where was he writing this? In the Waikiki Beach? No, he was writing this letter in the dungeon, just waiting for the execution date. As far as I know, none of the Christian believers in America went through any difficulty like that. Yet there are 100,000 people, our believers, brothers and sisters, around the world dying every year in the name of Jesus Christ. None of us have gone through that. Well, with the Obama administration, with the Democrat control, the Senate, and the Congress, it might just happen. Do you know, you guys know about the filibuster, right? That can be a moot point if they get to have another Senate seat in Georgia. They will have a 60th Senate seat, and that means nothing will stop them from passing any kinds of law. And Obama was signed, of course. So should we still thank God? Yeah, we should. And then where do we start? I say everything in every condition from perspective of God. I said perspective of God. I'm not asking you, I'm not encouraging you to thank the Lord and the value of the falling dollars or the crashing stock market, making your investment and retirement fund look like a nothing. And possibility of losing home because the lack of credit in all the financial institution. I'm not suggesting you to thank God for the children misbehaving. Yeah, I heard the CJ saying something. And not walking with God, or spouse uncaring, your boss being unfair. I'm not urging you to thank God for the tire going bald and our heads going bald as well. Or the funny sound and the funny move that your car is making, that means there goes money again. I'm not asking you to give thanks to God for the Alzheimer, cancer, and heart attack, stroke, or whatever the infirmity you're facing. Or death of the someone whom close to your heart. All these things are the result of sin and the disobedience and disrespect to God. That's another question that man brought to me. And when he talked about it, and I said, let's say you are my girlfriend. You do everything well for me. But if I hurt your heart, is that your fault? He said, no. Let me put it in God's, the relationship with God. God did everything right for us. But we are disobedient to Him. We kill each other. As you guys know, I'm into weapons and I'm into the tactical things with the SWAT team. The more I'm involved with it, the more I get to know about the equipment they're using. You know, I have to admit that humans are very good at killing each other. They are just good at killing each other. But I'm asking, encouraging, urging all of us, and you and me both, to give thanks to God in spite of what we are facing. You might be facing the infirmity. One of those letter, awful letters start with a C, cancer, or MS, you name it. Or you might be facing the difficult financial situation. In spite of that kind of situation, you can still give thanks to Him. Because He died for you, died for me. I'm asking you to thank Him for His holiness without compromise, yet changing our unholiness with His. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, right after Philemon's, right before James. Hebrews 12, verse 10. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed the best for them. But He, that is Father in heaven, for our profit that we may be a partaker of His holiness. Note the word, a partaker of His holiness. God wants us to be a partaker of His holiness. He's, because we don't have a holiness, He gave us His holiness. I'm asking you to thank God, thank Jesus for the hope in Him when the non-believers around us don't have a hope. And they're in utter darkness, yet they don't even realize they're in darkness. Good example is that this fancy actors and actresses and the singers in the Hollywood. They have more money than you and I can possibly waste. I didn't say spend, waste. But yet, they are miserable. Why? They have everything the world desires, but they are still miserable because they don't have a hope in God. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3. Are you there? Not only that, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I'm also asking you to thank God for the goodness and the mercy in spite of our shortcoming and sin. You guys remember the Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Through His mercy we are not consumed, because His compassion failed not. They are new every morning. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm also asking you to thank the Lord, thank the Father in heaven for His Son Jesus and His atoning sacrifice. Let's not forget that. His atoning sacrifice. When you feel left out, isolated, cheated, depressed, and beaten, I ask you to look at the manger of the Bethlehem. What you go through, what I go through, He went through that the day one on earth. On day one on earth, to be, well, 9 months prior to it, I guess, to be a human, being a God, He lay aside His glory, took the human form, which is less than angel. When He arrived on earth, there's no fanfare. There's no public announcement. And there was no royal dignitary visit. Only group He had was wide-eyed young parents and shepherd, who was considered socially low life during that time, and the animals who probably didn't appreciate the human intrusion in the stable. Then I'm going to ask you to stand under the cross of Calvary. Look at the blood-soaked ground and His flesh torn for our iniquities. His blood spilled for our sins, and His hands and feet pierced for our transgressions. Finally, I'm going to ask you to set yourself at the mouth of the empty tomb. It's empty. Because He is risen from the dead, we can have a hope, eternal life. He's not one of those, another religious leader who's still in the tomb. But His tomb is empty. You know, when you go to Israel, they said, well, there is a two different possibilities, the location of the Jesus tomb. You know what, though? It doesn't matter. Tomb can be south side of the Jerusalem or north side of Jerusalem. What it matters is that tomb is empty. We have hope in God because He beat the odds of death, and He resurrected from death. So here's my conclusion. On this afternoon, before you glue yourself in front of television, before you stuff yourself more than the bird you are about to have, let's face it, we're going to do that, right? And there will be a leftover turkey sandwich, there will be a leftover turkey snack before the dinner. Let's remember our Savior, Lord Jesus. Let our crucified, risen Lord God, Jesus Christ, transform this Thanksgiving into holy days, holy day instead of holiday, which remind us to thank Him in all circumstances. I'm not asking you to thank Him for the difficulty you are going through. Thank Him in spite of your difficulty you go through. Let's stand up and pray.